A reading from the first letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians. Brothers and sisters, it is widely reported that there is immorality among you, and immorality of a kind not found even among pagans, a man living with his father's wife, and you are inflated with pride. Should you not rather have been sorrowful? The one who did this deed should be expelled from your midst. I, for my part, although absent in body but present in spirit, have already, as if present, pronounced a judgment on the one who has committed this deed, in the name of our Lord Jesus. When you have gathered together, and I am with you in spirit, with the power of the Lord Jesus, you are to deliver this man to Satan for the destruction of his flesh, so that his spirit may be saved on the day of the Lord. Your boasting is not appropriate. Do you not know that a little yeast leavens all the dough? Clear out the old yeast, so that you may become a fresh batch of dough, inasmuch as you are unleavened. For our paschal lamb, Christ, has been sacrificed. Therefore, let us celebrate the feast, not with the old yeast, the yeast of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Lead me in your justice, Lord. For you, O God, delight not in wickedness, nor no evil man remains with you. The arrogant may not stand in your sight. You hate all evildoers. You destroy all who speak falsehood. The bloodthirsty and the deceitful the Lord abhors. But let all who take refuge in you be glad and exult forever. Protect them, that you may be the joy of those who love your name.
Dominus vobiscum.
Et cum spiritum tuo.
Lectio Sancti Evangelii secundum Lucam.
Gloria tibi, Domine.
On a certain Sabbath, Jesus went into the synagogue and taught, and there was a man there whose right hand was withered. The scribes and the Pharisees watched him closely to see if he would cure on the Sabbath, so that they might discover a reason to accuse him. But he realized their intentions and said to the man with the withered hand, "Come up and stand before us." And he rose and stood there. Then Jesus said to them, "I ask you, is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath rather than to do evil, to save life rather than to destroy it?" Looking around at them all, he then said to him, "Stretch out your hand." He did so, and his hand was restored. But they became enraged and discussed together what they might do to Jesus.
Verbum Domini.
We celebrate today the memorial of St. Peter Claver, He was born in Catalonia in Spain in the year 1580, and he would end up studying at the University of Barcelona. He was very bright. At the age of 20, he felt inspired to seek permission to enter the Jesuits. And soon after he entered the Society of Jesus, he met the saintly brother Alphonsus Rodriguez, who was a very holy man. And he was a Jesuit lay brother, and he was a porter of the college where Peter was sent to be further instructed and formed in the Jesuit spirituality. But Peter was greatly edified by this saintly witness of this brother Alphonsus. And these two Jesuits together would be canonized just months apart in the late 19th century. So it's very, I always find it encouraging and fascinating to see how one saint inspired another and how their lives overlapped. But it was Brother Alphonsus who inspired Peter to request, to seek permission to volunteer to go to the foreign missions. Peter was then sent to Cartagena in Colombia, where he finished his theological studies and he was ordained a priest 5 years after he had arrived. Now, Cartagena was the center for the slave trade in the New World, as gold and silver mines abounded there. And St. Peter Claver's apostolate would be to minister and to work among the slaves. And he spent about 40 years of his life in and among the slaves. He would say, we must speak with our hands before we speak with our lips. Right? We know that love is shown in action. And so when the slave ships would arrive at the port from Africa, Peter would be there to minister to the immediate needs of the slaves. He'd bring food, he'd bring medicine. But then also, he didn't limit it to that. Right? He also, most importantly, he was supernaturally motivated to care for their souls. He knew they were in terrible conditions. They were huddled in like cattle. They spent weeks up to 2 months in these ships coming over, and many of them did not make it. So it's estimated that up to a third of them did not survive that ship ride. But he was supernaturally motivated to care for their souls. And it's estimated that he had baptized around 300,000 people in his 40 years of ministering to the slaves. And for him, he knew it wasn't just about numbers, right? It wasn't just about baptizing person after person after person, but he knew they needed to be instructed in the faith. So he had 7 interpreters who he trained very well, again, to help him in assisting to instruct and prepare them for baptism. And he would bring with him pictures of our Lord, our Lady, and various scenes from the gospel. He also brought with him crucifixes. Again, very visible images of the love that God has for us. In addition to instructing them in the saving truths of the faith, he sought to help restore also their dignity, their self-respect, which had been greatly damaged by the way they were treated for such a long time. And some of the simple yet powerful prayers he would teach them to memorize were, Jesus, I love you very much. And Jesus Christ, I'm sorry for having sinned against you. And he would teach them to memorize these and to pray them over and over and over again, these little aspirational prayers, which they could pray often throughout the day. They're very simple yet profound expressions of the love of God and also contrition for sin. And St. Peter Claver also did the best he could do to influence those who had bought these slaves, to treat them with mercy and with kindness, to deal kindly with them. He fell ill during a plague that broke out in 1650, and although he did survive it, it greatly physically weakened him for the rest of his life. I believe he lived about 4 years after this. And he would eventually be confined to his cell due to his poor health, but he found great consolation and strength, not only in his prayer life, but also in a little handwritten notebook in which his old friend, Brother Alphonsus, again, that saintly lay brother, had summarized many maxims and sayings of the spiritual life, the interior life. And so Peter would read these over and over and over again, and it greatly inspired him, especially in the midst of his suffering, his own trials that he was going through interiorly. And this is a great reminder, too, the effect that good spiritual reading has on our souls. Right? It can reignite that spark, that fire in our souls, that desire for heaven, that desire for holiness. Reading about the lives of the saints, reading about the interior life, reading about the spiritual life. But St. Peter ended up dying on Our Lady's birthday, September 8th, in the year 1654. And his life and his witness are still much needed today. Many are still treated as objects by others, and many don't even understand their own dignity and their own worth before God, in whose image and likeness they are created. St. Peter generously brought the message to those he served that we are all loved by God, that we all have dignity and purpose in life. Right? God created every single one of us to know, to love, and to serve him. And he's calling all of us, inviting all of us to the joys of eternal life, right? If we accept that call, if we seek to conform our lives to his holy will by a life of prayer, of penance, and virtue. So we renew in our hearts that prayer from the opening collect of Mass. O God, who made St. Peter Claver a slave of slaves and strengthened him with wonderful charity and patience as he came to their help, grant through his intercession that, seeking the things of Jesus Christ, we may love our neighbor in deeds and in truth, through Christ our Lord. Amen.